brought to you by BaseballEssentials.com, it's the Road to Omaha podcast. Here's your host, Scotty Stone.
Good evening and welcome to the Road to Omaha podcast brought to you by BaseballEssentials.com. I am your host, Scott Stone, and we are just two days away now from what we've been waiting for all season, from the season's, from this show's namesake. We are at Omaha. There's only eight teams left in the College World Series hunt. And as we look at, as we go around the show today, we'll be talking a little bit about each and every one of these teams. We're going to talk about Virginia, Arkansas, Miami, Florida on one side, LSU, Vanderbilt, CSU, Fullerton, and TCU on the other side. And again, I'm your host, Scott Stone, as I am here every week with you guys here on the Road to Omaha. Thank you once again for listening. If you want to get in on tonight's show, please do so via Twitter. You can find my Twitter handle in the description of the show, right at ScottR_Stone. That's the best way. That's the easiest way for me to be able to chat with you guys is on Twitter. Yeah, and even if I'm not able to answer during the show, and there's a pretty good chance that I might not be able to, I will answer you, I promise. But without further ado, we're only doing 30 minutes just like we do every week, so I want to make sure we have all the time that we could really hope to have. And we'll go ahead and jump right into this. We're going to do one half, and I get in the one side, and we'll do the other half. The first half we're going to do is going to be the Virginia, Arkansas, Miami, Florida part of the and then we'll do the LSU, Vanderbilt, CSU, Fullerton, and TCU bracket. Again, let's go ahead and jump right on into this. We're going to start with first game one Saturday at 3 p.m. You can find it on ESPN. That's going to be the Arkansas Razorbacks and the Virginia Cavaliers. Man, that's going to be a fun one. Arkansas is at 40-23, 17-12 in SEC play this year. They were not ranked in the preseason. They're still looking for their first national championship. They've been to Omaha quite a few times. They're becoming kind of a mainstay in Omaha. And honestly, they're definitely one of the more dangerous teams in the field, just because they've had a pretty tough road this year. I'm not gonna go into the absolute specifics, and I know that 40-23 records, they haven't had that hard of a time. Trust me, they had to play A&M, they had to play LSU, they had to play a little bit underrated Alabama side. I actually really enjoyed Alabama when I got to see them. They had to play an Auburn side. But in the tournament so far, they had to go through Stillwater, which Oklahoma State was a top 10 team at the time. Oklahoma State I honestly felt like they were a top 10 team all year. There really wasn't a time when they necessarily struggled. There were times when they did not play their absolute best, but they didn't struggle. So the Razorbacks having to go in there, into Stillwater, a hostile environment, and take on the Oklahoma State Cowboys and win, was gritty. It was really gritty. And then, by virtue of Missouri State not having a big enough facility, Arkansas was awarded the Missouri State Super Regional. So Missouri State was technically the hosting team of the regional, even though it was held at Arkansas. So they had to go through a tough Missouri State team. I mean, that Saturday, that a second day starter for Missouri through an or for Missouri. Missouri State threw a gem against the Razorbacks, and Missouri State is one of those gritty teams that they're going to battle you every single pitch. Every single pitch, every single game, they're going to go up there and they're going to battle you. They're definitely one of the more underrated mid-majors out there. I've gotten the chance to see them quite a few times in my years watching baseball, whether it be watching them at Sam Houston State when I was in high school, or actually broadcasting against them when I was broadcasting for the University of Texas at Arlington when I was at UTA. I did not get to watch them face-to-face this year, but Missouri State has always been one of those gritty clubs that they're gap-to-gap guys, not necessarily a ton of home run pop, but gap-to-gap guys, and they pitch well. That's what they do, and that's what they did. But when you've got guys like Andrew Benintendi, who's a first-rounder to Boston, and then you also got guys like Joe Serrano, Tyler Spoon, and then on the mound you've got Zach Jackson, who has a low to mid 90s fastball and a devastating curveball. You're in a good spot. Now, is Arkansas necessarily set up to win it? No, but they're in a good spot, and they're going to take on Virginia in the first game. Virginia 39-22, 15-15 in the ACC. They were preseason ranked third, although they were not ranked at the end of the season. And they're also looking for their first national title. Now, Virginia is absolutely a mainstay in the College World Series over the past 5-10 years. Last year, the Cavaliers went to the National Championship Series and dropped 2 out of 3 against Vanderbilt. Now, they have a lot of talent. Virginia, they had to go out to the West Coast and take care of business in Lake Elsinore in the UC Santa Barbara regional, even though Lake Elsinore is like 3 hours away from Santa Barbara. In the regional, they had wins over USC and San Diego State. And then they had to go and take on Maryland. Now, Maryland at home. Maryland now out of the Big Ten. But they had to take on Maryland at home and swept them. I mean, just did exactly what Virginia baseball does in the regionals. They don't lose. This is not as good of a team, per se, as we're probably used to seeing from the Cavaliers or from the Wahoos, as I really enjoy calling them. But they've got a good lefty in Nathan Kirby. You've got Connor Jones and Brandon Waddell. They've got some experience. And then, you've got Josh Boers in the back at the back end of the bullpen. So, if it's a safe situation, you go to Josh Boers, and it's pretty much over. But then also at the plate, you've got guys like Matt Tice and Pavin Smith, as well as a very key veteran. And honestly, to me, the more important guy on the team than probably just about anybody would be Kenny Towns. Virginia is my dark horse. I really like Arkansas, and I think Arkansas wins game one. But when Arkansas has to go up and face, they'll have to face either Florida or Miami, and that's the next opening series we'll talk about, the next opening game, I guess, the next two teams. Once they get into that bullpen, once that bullpen gets a little bit tired, once you get into the fourth and fifth starter, and you'll get there. I know they have every other day off, but I don't see it. I don't see Arkansas. Now, I do see Virginia as being a dark horse here, and obviously, yes, we can say Arkansas is a dark horse just because they are there and they are not picked to win their bracket. But Virginia is a dark horse with a legitimate shot of doing something here. Why? Because they're playing their best baseball this season at the most important time. It's very much the same is the CSU Fullerton team that I'll be talking about here in a few minutes. But they're very good at what they do. They pitch well, and they use just enough offense. Now, it doesn't play so much like that during the regular season, but it doesn't have to. It has to play that way in the NCAA tournament and in the conference tournament, because you allow two or three runs to the other team, and it's very hard to win in the College World Series. It just is. You're not going to see a lot of 8-5 games in the College World Series. Why? Because you have the best pitching, and you have the best pitching and the best defensive teams in the country. That's why TCU is there. They have some of the best pitching, some of the best hitting in the country. But they also play lights out defense. They don't make a ton of errors. That's what Virginia is going to do. Virginia is going to make you beat them with doubles and home runs. They're not going to take themselves out of the game, and that's why I think they have a legitimate shot. And then let's go ahead and jump into the next matchup. It's going to be the Florida Gators and the Miami Hurricanes. We'll talk about Miami first, 49-15, 23-8 in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Preseason ranked 15, they do have four national titles. Miami's had a fairly easy, and I don't mean that to be derogatory to any of the other teams that they played in the tournament. But the Miami Hurricanes had one of the easier regional and super regional slates, as even though Columbia gave them everything that they had for three games, but that fourth game, the fifth game, I guess, really, Miami just absolutely pounded Columbia, and then they took care of VCU with some of that with that situational hitting and great pitching that they've got. This is a team. Miami's a team that has a ton of balance. Andrew Suarez, Thomas Woodry are both very quality arms. Look at David Thompson, has 19 homers and 87 RBIs. Those are video game numbers, especially in college baseball. Zach Collins is a power producer. Miami is, I say they're not a dark horse because they're so powerful. They don't defend necessarily as well as some of these other teams, but they hit the ball so hard. Now, like I was just saying, pitching and defense wins national championships. They can play defense. Don't get me wrong there. But the thing that worries me about Miami, and I don't mean worries and I'm freaking out whether they're going to win or lose. I really don't care. I just want to see some great baseball. But the main thing that I want to see from Miami is that, can they play the solid defense? But what are they going to do against a very good pitching staff from Florida? Florida has Logan Shore and AJ Puk. And then you look at the bullpen, and they've got Taylor Lewis. But the Gators also hit the crap out of the baseball. J.J. Schwartz is good. Harrison Bader is good. They are so talented. And the other thing is they're kind of young. They're a bunch of sophomores and juniors. Now, I say young because they don't have a ton of upperclassmen talent. Last year they were playing with mostly freshmen and sophomores. Now they're basically playing with mostly sophomores and juniors. But those sophomores and juniors have had a ton of success at Florida. They've been very good at Gainesville. So 49-16 Florida Gators, they were preseason number two in the country. They do not have any national titles either. But they're going to be a force, and it's because of the pitching and defense. Again, they have such quality hitting with J.J. Schwartz and Harrison Bader. They are going to punish a lot of teams in this regional. They're going to punish whoever they play. It's going to be whether that team can weather the storm. Florida State, I thought Florida State was good. I thought Florida State might actually win that super regional. And Florida State and Florida made me look like a complete idiot because it wasn't close. So Florida State, what went wrong with was that they couldn't couldn't hang on. And what I mean that is, it's almost like a boxer. It's how many blows can you take before you can't take anymore, before the floodgates open? How many punches can Miami take before Florida opens up those floodgates and starts pounding them? Or can Miami keep those floodgates from breaking, keep themselves in the game, and then win it late innings? That's the real question here for those two teams. So, and again, those are some of the things that are going through my head about these teams. Now, I'm going to go ahead and make my pick for this side of the bracket. I'm going to pick Florida. I'd like Miami. That doesn't mean I don't think that Miami can do it. That doesn't mean I don't think Virginia the first team we talked about in Arkansas can do it. I think all four can do it, but I think that Florida has the best team. Is it close? Yeah, it's close. It's not extremely close, but it's close. But I think that Florida is going to be the team to beat. I'll just go ahead and do this reader real quick, and then we'll jump on to the other side of the bracket because we've got about 12 minutes left in the show. And again, these shows go by really quickly, I know, and I go through this stuff kind of quickly just because we don't have a ton of time. But I do want to talk a minute about Baseball Essential shows and podcasts. Remember, if you missed the show, if you missed a live show, if you missed the Road to Omaha, don't worry. If you missed the Farming the Futures, don't worry. If you miss Off the Wall, don't worry. You can catch our live shows and podcasts in three different ways. You can look on baseballessential.com, and there's actually a tab now. If you go to the top, there's a tab that says it's under features. Go to features, scroll down to where it says podcasts and radio shows, and there you can find all of the different shows that we have. You can listen to them. Or if the other way is, if you have iTunes, just go to that iTunes store, type in Baseball Essential, and go ahead and hit the subscribe button. You can listen, you can hear all of our archived shows, all of our past shows, all of our everything that we have up there. The final way is that you can look right here on blogtalkradio.com. Type in Baseball Essential if you're not already here, and you can look at and see all of our archive content. So three different ways: blogtalkradio.com, baseballessential.com under the features tab, click on shows and podcasts, or on iTunes, go to the iTunes store, type in Baseball Essential and click subscribe. They will automatically download to your queue, I guess. They'll automatically download into your iTunes and you can listen from right there. So remember, those are Baseball Essential live shows and podcasts. Obviously, if you can catch the show live, the Road to Omaha is always on at 7 o'clock. Check out our Twitter. Check out baseballessential.com for times and things like that for those. But if you can't, you always do have another option to listen to the shows. Remember, baseballessential.com is a proud affiliate of Fox Sports Digital. And with that, let's go ahead and jump in to the final part of the bracket here. This will be LSU, TCU, CSU, Fullerton, and Vanderbilt. We'll talk about Cal State Fullerton and Vanderbilt real quick, because that's going to be, I guess technically that's the second game on Sunday. That one's at 8 o'clock on Sunday on ESPN. But we'll go ahead and talk about those two teams. We'll start off with CSU Fullerton. They are the alphabetical number one in this bracket. CSU Fullerton, 39-23, 19-5 in the Big West. Preseason ranked number 19. They did. They do have four national titles. But hey, Fullerton's been up and down all year long. They didn't start out great. They started out all right, but they played exceptionally well in the Fullerton Regional with three straight wins, and then they went on the road to take two out of three from Louisville. Now, remember, Louisville lost like four or five games in conference play all year. So for Fullerton to go in there and win, and not only just win, but how they won, they were down 3-1, and I think the seventh inning, came back to win in game three. So they're tested. They are absolutely tested. I like the Titans. They have one of the best pitchers in the country in Thomas Eshelman, who was drafted, wouldn't you know it, by my Houston Astros the other day. But don't forget guys like David Olmedo Barrera, Gerard Bravo, and Jared Bravo, and others playing that play so well. One thing I like about Rick Vanderhook and his CSU Fullerton teams, they always pitch well. They always play great defense. Good defense won't get you anywhere in Omaha. You have to play great defense, and that's what the Titans do. They keep you in the game. They keep themselves in the game with their defense, and then they let their offense do some work. Now their offense isn't great. They get behind 3-1, 4-1 against a team like a Vanderbilt. I don't see them coming back. But if it's 1-1, 2-1, something like that, they have absolutely the talent that you need to win this thing. Now, the flip side with Vanderbilt 47-19, 20-10 in the SEC. They were the preseason number one. Their lone national title came last year. Vanderbilt is solid all the way around. I mean, Carson Fulmer, Walker Buehler, Kyle Wright on the mound. Behind the plate, look no further than the number one overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft starting Monday, Dansby Swanson. But if you want to look past Dansby Swanson, Xander Wheel. They have such good arms. In fact, Dansby Swanson was taken number one. I want to say Carson Fulmer was taken number four. Walker Buehler was taken in the top 20 picks in the MLB draft. They are a powerful team. Now, the start to their year didn't look like we thought it should, but they're strong. And I would not be surprised one bit if they win this thing. The only problem for Vanderbilt, they have to take on LSU and they have to take on TCU. LSU and TCU might actually have LSU has a better hitting team, but TCU might just be a little bit more solid all the way around on the mound. So we'll go ahead and we'll jump in and talk about TCU real quick, since TCU is right before Vanderbilt here. TCU 49-13, 18-5 in Big 12 play, looking for their first national championship. How did they get here? Well, they overcame an 8-1 deficit to beat the NC State Wolfpack in the Fort Worth Regional title game. And then they took Texas A&M to Teen innings before A&M lost on an error by a dual error on the third baseman. That was something that I wanted to get into more, but I probably won't, as we've got about 5 minutes here. But TCU is not. It's a prototypical Texas team, and what I say that I mean the Texas Longhorns, because they win with pitching and defense. And I said that about Virginia. I said that about Florida. I've said that about CSU Fullerton. TCU is a lot the same way. That's what gets you to Omaha. You look at guys like Cody Jones, Connor Wanhanen, Evan Skoog. Those guys don't hit for a ton of pop. They don't have a ton of home runs. They don't have a huge batting average, but what they do is they battle. They battle at that plate better than anybody in the country. And they win. They win, they win, they win. They live and they die with that pitching staff. Probably the deepest in the country. Depending on who you talk to, they would say probably Florida, and they wouldn't be wrong. I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer here. But TCU is so strong on the mound. I mean, up and down the lineup. I mean, up and down the bullpen, up and down the starting rotation. Preston Morrison, Riley Farrell, although Riley Farrell hasn't been great lately, Riley Farrell is absolutely a great pitcher. He was taken in the baseball draft. I want to say it was probably Tuesday. He was drafted. So you can never don't sleep on the Horned Frogs. And then the final one in my eventual national champion, the team that I picked right before conference play to win the national championship, is LSU 53-10. Are you kidding me? 21-8 in Southeastern Conference play, preseason number 9. They have 6 national titles from 91, 93, 96, 97, 2000, and then the one that hurt me the most, 2009. As a Texas Longhorns fan, I was in the building when the LSU beat my Longhorns in 2009. What is there to say about LSU besides the fact that they do just about everything? They swept Louisiana and the Baton Rouge Regional. They swept Regional. I mean, look no further. I mean, Alex Bregman, who was just taken number 2 overall by the Houston Astros. Pretty much everybody up and down the lineup hits 300. The guy that doesn't hits like 294. Shambra's good. You look at the starting rotation. Alex Lang, Jared Poche. They've got 2 freshmen and a sophomore in their starting rotation. They're not going to blow the fastball past you. But they hit the spots. They don't beat themselves. They're going to make you beat them, and that's why LSU is going to win the national championship. So I'm going to say LSU over Florida for the national championship. The only team I think that can beat LSU is going to be TCU, and I don't really know that they can do it. You look up and down that rotation. You look up and down that lineup, and LSU is so solid. Paul Maneri does such a great job of getting his guys ready to play every single day. Not that he really has to try. I mean, if you can't get excited to play college baseball at LSU, then I don't know that you even have a pulse. But, I mean, what is there to say about LSU besides the fact that they hit everything hard, they hit everything well, and they will punish you every single time you do something wrong. With that, we are actually towards the end of tonight's show. I do want to say thank you once again for listening here on blogtalkradio.com, or if you're listening, however you may be listening to the show, thank you for making me a part of your day. I'll be back next week to preview the National Championship Series with whoever it may be. So with that, I'll go ahead and say goodnight. Remember, next Thursday, 7 o'clock, right here on blogtalkradio.com. For the Road to Omaha podcast, I'm Scott Stone. Thanks for listening.